and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for a meditation this morning is recorded for us in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42, beginning with the 14th verse. This is our first lesson for today. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, all of us here today are able to see. No, you are able to use your eyes to see where you're walking in order to pick up certain objects, to do pretty much everything. In fact, the only time where you don't really use your sight is when you're sleeping. But what if you were to lose your sight? Maybe an accident happened, you got hit in the temple, or maybe you got some disease that affected your eyes and you were no longer able to see. Well, your life would completely change. You would no longer be able to do the things that you were easily able to do in the past. The things you used to enjoy doing, like watching TV or reading or simply watching the sunset or driving. Everything that you were able to do in the past would now be different. But what would happen then if they came up with a cure, with some procedure that was able to restore your eyesight? Would you get it done? What if there are possibly no side effects with this procedure and it was absolutely free? Would you do it? I'm sure many of you would. In a heartbeat. But there are others that wouldn't. They'd be too lazy to get it done. They would come up with excuses. You know, blindness, that doesn't really bother me too much, they might say. Or I like the extra attention. Or it's just too much of a hassle to get the procedure done. I'd rather remain blind. Or what if you were blind and your sight was restored and you would rather go back to being blind? Sounds absurd, right? It's ridiculous. Why would anyone want to be blind when they could see? And yet, that's what many people do when it comes to spiritual blindness. So today, God calls us to open our eyes to the way of salvation. He is the one who wakes us up from our spiritual slumber through His law. And through His gospel, He shows us the way to salvation as He makes us righteous through faith in His Son. The people of Israel, the Israelites, they knew the way to salvation. They knew God. They had seen what God had done for them in the past. He had rescued them from the oppression of the Egyptians. He had brought them safely through the wilderness and took them into the promised land. And into the promised land, He defeated country after country, gave them victory over all their enemies. And the whole time, He promised them something greater. One of their descendants would be their Savior. A descendant of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, of son of David, would be their king. The promised Messiah who would save them from their sins. They knew the past well. They knew what God had done for them. They knew His promises. They knew it so well, became born. Became old hat. They've heard that story before. They wanted something new. They wanted something exciting. So they rejected the Lord. They went after other gods. They worshiped the false gods of the people around them. Or they didn't worship any god. They thought they can make by themselves. Spiritual apathy hit the Israelites. But it didn't just hit the Israelites. Spiritual apathy or indifference to God's word hits us as well. Now you might say to yourself, we can't possibly be bad as those Israelites. I mean, we're not worshiping other gods. We haven't come close to rejecting the Lord fully as many of those Israelites did. We're not as bad as they are. And yet we often lack enthusiasm for the word in the same way that those Israelites did. Often we act as if we don't care too much about God and His Word. No, we've got other things to deal with, more important things to worry about. My job or my family or relaxation become more important to the Lord and His Word. We become so busy in our lives that God's Word often takes a back seat. Or your children have dance practice, or they have baseball workouts, or they have too much homework to get done, that you don't possibly have any time to worry about God and His Word. It seems that we spend more time taking our kids to and from certain things, or we spend more time with our kids talking about sports, or taking them to movies, or playing games with them, than we actually do sitting down and reading God's Word with them, or praying with them, or worshiping with them. We never intended it to happen that way. But we become so busy in our lives that God's Word gets pushed to the side. Our jobs, our hobbies, our children and their activities, because we seem to want to get our children involved in every single thing they can possibly be involved in, that God's Word gets pushed to the side. We didn't mean it for it to happen. But eventually our worship attendance wanes. We're simply too busy or too tired to come. When we are so busy, it's easy to push away, push aside, or just to not go through your Bible that morning. Soon the devotional book that you love collects dust. Never really thought too much about attending Bible class. You got too many things to do to learn God's Word from time to time. You got other things to do. Things you haven't got done because of your busy schedule. You have to get a bite to eat yet. Maybe you have some chores to do around the house. Maybe you just want to need to catch up on that TV show you've missed a few episodes. The busier we become, God's Word seems to matter less and less. And soon we become apathetic to God and His Word, indifferent to it, and we are blinded more and more spiritually day after day. Isaiah talked about this. "Who was blind but my servant," he said, "and deaf like the messengers I send. Who is blind like the one committed to me? Blind like the servant of the Lord. You have seen many things, but have paid no attention. Your ears are open, but you hear nothing." God's children had become blind. They hear His Word, but they don't listen. They see His love and grace, but they really don't seem to care. They're spiritually blind. At one point, they saw the light of salvation. They knew what God had done for them. But their sinful nature gets the best of them. Like cataracts that slowly makes us blind, we begin to lose our sight of God. And soon, we become spiritually blind. Like the Pharisees of Jesus' day. In our gospel for today, Jesus healed a blind man from birth. But the Pharisees were too busy complaining that Jesus had the audacity to make mud on the Sabbath that they failed to realize how great of a work that Jesus did. They're too busy complaining about Jesus to realize that He showed His divine power by performing that miracle. They're too busy finding a way to get even with Jesus to realize, to see that He was the promised Messiah that they had been waiting for thousands of years. These were God's people. They were leaders, spiritual leaders of the people. They were servants of the Lord, and they were spiritually loved. They heard the word, but they refused to listen. And what does God promise such people? Well, judgment. That's what Isaiah points to in verse 15. Those who trust in idols, who say to images, "You are gods," will be turned back to utter shame. It may seem as if God lets such sins go. It may seem as if he doesn't care too much. But there will come a time when he will punish all unbelievers. On the last day when he comes again, he will bring his wrath and punishment and bring people to utter shame. That utter shame is when he sends them to suffer in hell forever. That is who we are. That's what we deserve. All of us have failed to put God first in our lives. All of us have become so busy that we fail to focus on God and to do his will. We all deserve his wrath and punishment. But that's not what God wants to do to us. God doesn't want to punish us. No, God wants to forgive us and save us. Listen to verses 20 and 21. "We have seen many things, but have paid no attention. Your ears are open, but you hear nothing. Yet it pleased the Lord, for the sake of his righteousness, to make his law great and glorious." We have rebelled against God. We have failed to listen to God. And yet it pleased the Lord to bring us to faith. It pleased the Lord to show us forgiveness of sins. To make his word great and glorious. It has pleased the Lord. Now, this plan of salvation wasn't something that he was forced into. It was something that pleased him, something that he wanted to do, to show us the way to salvation. His plan of salvation included sending his son, Jesus, down to this sin-filled world. It included having his son live a perfect life. But then his plan included letting his son be crucified on a cross. Taking the world's sins and putting them on his son, forsaking his son, making his son suffer through the pain and agony of eternal damnation. His plan included sending his son to die. For us. God's plan of salvation was taking his one and only son to suffer and die so that his enemies might be declared not guilty. So that we who rebel against him could be declared innocent, righteous, and holy just like his son. And so God leads us to places that we could not see, as he points out in verse 16. "I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them." We were the blind. We were those who did not know the way of salvation. We were those who were helpless and hopeless and ignorant about how we were saved. See, the human heart cannot understand grace. It cannot fathom that God would save us freely out of his love. That God would forgive his enemies. We're blind by nature. So God has to shine the light on our sin-darkened souls. He has to lead the way. He has to bring us to faith and lead us to eternal life. That unseen, that unfamiliar path that Jesus leads us down is the path of salvation. He shows us the path. He guides us on the way, and He removes all things, all objects of the world that may cause us to stumble. Things that may block our path, objects that might cause us to slow down or to get sidetracked. He makes the road smooth and wide. Whatever hinders us, whatever may threaten us, Christ clears the way. How? Well, through the Word. It is through the Word that Christ shows us what is truly important in our lives. It is through the Word that He shows us that it is Him and His Word alone. That nothing else in this world truly matters except for what He has done for us. As the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." It is through the Word that Jesus has brought us out of the darkness of unbelief and into the light of salvation. He shines the light of the gospel on our sin-darkened souls. It's through the gospel that the blind see. Think about today's gospel again. Jesus gave sight to that blind man. A glorious work, a marvelous miracle. But that wasn't the most important thing that Jesus did for that blind man. We saw it at the end of our gospel when that blind man was rejected by the Pharisees. Jesus went and found him. And He shared the gospel with him. "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He led him to see that He was true God and true man and thus also our Savior. He shared the gospel with him, brought him to faith, and He made the spiritually blind able to spiritually see. He led him down that unknown and unfamiliar path onto the way of salvation. Jesus did that for the blind man through the gospel. And that is the same means by which He uses today. He brings us to faith through that same gospel. He shines light on our sin-darkened hearts through that same gospel. So what do? We get into the Word. We make it a priority in our lives. There's no offering excuses. You can't justify yourself before God when you fail to put Him first in your life. So you make the time out of your busy schedules. You make it a priority to sit down and read the Word. Not just by yourself, but with your children. You make it a priority to worship together, to pray together, to study God's Word together. You make the time to attend Bible class because you're never satisfied with the knowledge of the Lord that you do have. It's not something that you feel forced into, but this is something you want to do because you know what the Lord does through the gospel. You know that He shines the light of salvation on your sin-darkened souls. He shows you what He did to win for you eternal life. It's through the gospel that He gives you sight. If there was a cure for your physical blindness, which is absolutely free, you would do it in a heartbeat. If you were blind and then made able to see, you wouldn't want to become blind again. Same thing with spiritual blindness. There is a cure for spiritual blindness. It's not hypothetical, but it's true. It's the gospel. God has worked through it to bring you to faith. Don't become blind again by forsaking the Word. But make it a top priority in your lives. Read it. What? Study it. Lead your children to do the same. What? For through it, the Lord has opened your eyes to the way of salvation, which is through faith in Him alone. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.